Hello everyone, welcome back to the Heavy Heart Show. This is Michael. We're in season 2 now of the Heavy Heart Show, and we're going to be shifting gears to probably discuss things that are more, you know, arts related and creativity related, as opposed to, you know, all the politics and the and that mumbo jumbo, because it just gets old. And I want the show to keep going, but, you know, we got to keep up with the times. So, and I've been making some music, and I won't share it with you guys until I feel like it's really, you know, like something, not just something you'd be like, wow, Mike, you did a good job, but something you'd actually listen to and like get benefit from, you know, because that's the real goal. But that's kind of what's been on my mind, so I figured I could share some like lessons on creativity that I've gotten from other artists. And one of them that stands out that kind of prompted me to start recording is this artist Daniel Johnston, who you guys may be familiar with. But he's a very troubled individual who, you know, kind of expressed himself in his music. And I, you know, I'm not saying I'm like a mega fan or anything. I've only really just discovered him, but him and the whole genre of outsider music as a whole, I think a lot can be learned from outsider music. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a good video on YouTube about outsider music. If you look it up, it'll probably just pop right up. But, you know, there's a few examples of that. Like Tiny Tim is another example. But outsider music, it's not necessarily good. It's like, it's not like, you know, high production value a lot of the times. A lot of the times it's very low production value. And it's a little odd, or very odd. Sometimes it's extremely odd. But the thing to learn from the outsider musicians is that they're just expressing themselves, and it worked. Like, they're not like they're not Beethoven, for sure. Some of them are actually really geniuses. You know, I'm not trying to discredit them. Like, Daniel Johnston, I think, actually is a genius. Who shouldn't be, like, just viewed as, like, oh, he was a little crazy. Like, no, his lyrics are actually very poignant. And, his melodies are, you know, they're, like, botchy and everything, but they're actually very catchy. So, but yeah, with outsider music, And I've said that maybe 15 times now, but I think something to be learned from it is that, one, they're just freely expressed, well, yeah, they're just freely expressing themselves, and the other side of that coin is, like, art is not, you want to please people with your art, but if you just try to please people with your art, you won't please people. Because there's a part of them that doesn't want to just please people either. And they want to be inspired by you. Not just like, oh, I could do that. They're like, not like, oh, anyone could do that. But like, you know, it's hard to explain. I guess I'll kind of cut that there. But yeah, what I'm trying to say is, like, if you out there think that you're a creative person, like you have like a gift for a creative outlet, whether it be music or film or writing, then my advice is don't wait for someone to tell you that you can do it. Now, you'll know if it's good or bad. And if we delude ourselves, then we're going to face the consequences of doing that. So there's no benefit in doing that. We better make sure it's really good. But what I mean by really good is not what other people think. I mean what you think is good and the standards of the art form, of course. You know, like, have some stand, like, you have to have some foundation. We can't just be utterly renegades because there's no medium, right? Like, a canvas is a medium. It's where you meet the artist. So you need to have a medium, whether it be film or whatever, but you're expressing you or something you have to say. And there's many ways to do that. Like in poetry, for example, like if you read a bad poem, or not a bad poem, but a poem that's like lacking is usually a poem that's very, in my opinion, a poem that's very direct and like just it's filling in the blanks for you. That's a bad poem. Because a poem is special because it doesn't mean anything until it's, you know, this is poetically speaking, but it doesn't mean anything until it's picked up and experienced by someone else. Then it's a poem. Until then, it's kind of just a piece of writing, a piece of paper. But a poem is like when it's interpreted and felt. And in order to do that, the artist needs to leave room for the audience to connect the dots themselves, right? Like when you're reading a book, you may understand, oh, this character kind of looks this way, or, and they don't in the author's mind, but they allow you to fill in the blanks. They don't underestimate. A great author, a great musician doesn't, and writer doesn't, or a painter doesn't underestimate their audience. Doesn't, you know, go too hard for the audience, because if you go too hard and you're just way highbrow, way out there, you know, if that's what you want to do, then do it. I'm not ever going to tell you not to. But, you know, most people are not like the artist. Like Jay-Z, you know, personal, whatever, whoever he is, personally, completely aside, we're just talking art. He would say that, oh, I kind of lost my train of thought, but Jay-Z would say, here's what he would say. He'd say, because he said a lot of things, but this is the one he said, is that, that I'm thinking of, is that he dumbs down his lyrics for his audience. And it's like, wow, Mike, you really stalled to say that. That wasn't really that profound. But he dumbs down his lyrics for his audience. Now, we all know Jay-Z, lyrical genius. So imagine what his real, raw, just-to-himself lyrics must be like. They're probably really, 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 really good, but they're so good that they wouldn't even be enjoyable. Like they would be, but they wouldn't be as enjoyable because we need to meet people in the middle. Not too much in the middle, but yeah, hopefully you guys get what I'm saying. And I love that element of creativity, and I think that should be encouraged in the world. And I think a lot of us have it in us that we, you know, because we think, oh, like American Idol, I don't like that show. Not just, you know, it's obviously it's called American Idol, that's questionable. And, you know, they're pretty mean to, like, disabled people and stuff like that, yeah, and it's generally, like, very worldly. But that's not my main critique, because, you know, I watched it when I was young, and it's not all like that. Like, there's some very, like, Fantasia, amazing singer. There's a lot of amazing singers on that show. But what someone should understand, or what we should understand as viewers of that show, is that that's not really how it works. Like, Bob Dylan didn't go on American Idol. Aretha Franklin didn't go on American Idol. None of these people went on American Idol. Like, they may have auditioned at times in their life, but they brought talent to the table, and, like, they had something deeper. They didn't just try to get famous. Like, maybe, yeah, maybe that was a big drive, because why would you bother signing to a big label if you didn't want some, you know, recognition for what you've done? But that can't just be it. And it's also like, imagine if everyone made art just to see if Simon Cowell and Randy Jackson liked it. That's like, there's probably some amazing film and everything that is just not their cup of tea. And, or definitely doesn't belong on cable television. Or wouldn't be welcomed on cable television, but does belong there, you know? So I'm just trying to, like, break down for the listener those, like, bonds on, or those, like, those confines on creativity. Because, you know, I've been studying, like, artists for several years, like, just watching interviews and just trying to see, like, how they think. And a lot of it is, like, you know, they don't, a lot of it is not thinking. Like, it's a lot less thinking than you think, no pun intended. It's like, yeah, I don't, you know, they're just doing what they do. And critics, you know, are going to critic. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do. But when it comes to criticism, here's a great piece of advice. It comes from the late, great R.C. Sproul. Definitely worth looking him up, R.C. Sproul. I've mentioned him before. Probably my favorite theologian, favorite teacher that I've probably ever seen. And he said, he was talking about criticism and constructive versus destructive criticism. And he said, you know, and this is where I'll end the episode is with this reference, but he said he was going on in an airplane and he picked up a book and it was about, you know, something. It was just some random book. But in the book, he was talking about, you know, maybe I don't have to give all this detail, but in the book, it was talking about how, you know, there was like this danger, this element of danger of, you know, walking down an alleyway and someone jumps out and pulls a knife. What are you going to do? Now, R.C. Sproul said, you know, common sense, you run. You know, some of us might say, like, we're going to fight. But no, like, this is real life. Like, probably just wise to just try and outrun that person, get out of there. Now, he brought that parallel to verbal attacks or destructive criticism. And he said, now, let's say, he basically said, we ought to treat someone coming up to us and saying, hey, I just have this little piece of constructive criticism for you. Treat that like someone, and take this with a grain of salt, you know, this is poetic here, but, or this is poetic freedom being used, but treat that, someone saying, oh yeah, I just had this little bit of constructive criticism for you. 99% of the times, it's not constructive. It's destructive. They're going to try and tear you down. Because it's just in people. We've all done it. Like, I've definitely given feedback to people. Not necessarily when they're asking for it. But I've given destructive words to people, without a doubt. And I deeply regret that. And I hope I don't do that anymore. But the point R.C. Sproul was making is you should treat someone coming up to you and saying, oh yeah, I just got a little bit of constructive feedback. Treat that like you're walking down an alley and someone just jumped out at you with a knife. Because they're going to stab you with those words and they're going to hurt more than a knife might have. They're going to hurt real bad. And he actually finished the lesson, or no, he just added to that lesson with the whole sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And he said, yeah, that's not true. And he gave a story from his childhood, and we probably have similar ones, maybe some of us, where, you know, we really got physically injured and it was like, yeah, whatever. But then someone said something hurtful and it affected us for a very, very long time. So I think he was really, really, really onto something. Of course, when he said that, that we really should treat that as, like, an attack. Like, go away. Like, or not, you know, you don't have to sprint away from the person. But mentally, you know, disregard what they're saying. If you're an artist, I'm not saying always disregard what everyone's saying. Like, there's some people in your life who will really give you constructive feedback. And those people you got to keep around. But most people are not, it's not going to be constructive. And you just got to, even if it sounds constructive, it's just what they want. You know, it's just like, oh, what they would do. So that's all I got to say for now. I'll see you guys next time, hopefully with some more things to say. Maybe we'll be having some guests on here soon. And guys, please, if you like the show, please share with your friends and family, leave a review, and that'll be all. Peace.